welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I will be speaking on the tithe this morning, and it is one of my favorite subjects. Since I was asked to minister last Monday, I just couldn't wait to get to the platform. I'm just so excited by what God had shown me. And the prophet Jeremiah said that the word of God was caught up in his bones and that he was weary of holding it in. That has been my experience. So I'm really excited to be here this morning. I'm also excited to say that my sister Grace is also preaching at the same time in a church in Dublin. She's a lay preacher for the Methodist Church. And she, right now, just as we're standing together, she is preaching in a Methodist church in Dublin. So I'm going to soon pray for her right now. So, Father, we thank you for Grace. I thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in her life. And, Father, I know as a Methodist lay preacher, she likes to keep exactly to what she has written in front of her. But I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon her, that she will break away from her message, and that what's inside of her heart, her spirit, her life, will begin to unfold, and that she will bless the congregation in which she is speaking to, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I pray, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon them this morning, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that their spiritual eyes will be opened, and that as I take the tithe message, which is all about funding the end time harvest, it is all about preaching and financing the preaching of the gospel message, that they will get a fresh perspective of how important the tithe is in our lives. The tithe sits in the middle of our life, and we've got to decide what are we going to do with it. So we thank you, Father, that you will open your word, that I will decrease and that Jesus will increase through me this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the evening of the 28th of October, 1974, a day I will never forget, I found myself in the balcony of the YMCA building in Dublin, just off O'Connell Street. And guess who was preaching? Billy Graham. The YMCA building, there must have been about 10,000 people there. It was absolutely packed. My mom and dad were Christians. My dad was playing the piano on the platform. He was also doing a bit of orchestrating as well to a choir of about 150 people. My mom was sitting in that choir singing that night. The atmosphere was electric. It was the day before satellite, and Billy Graham was there to preach to us. What a stage. But on the last verse, on the last song, on the last few words, I came forward. And along with thousands of other people that night, I came forward to give my heart to Jesus. The conviction of the Holy Spirit was upon me. The prayers of my parents and family all came together at that moment. And I gave my heart to the Lord that night. I was born into a Quaker family, so I went back to the Quakers as a born-again Christian. From there, I moved into Baptist circles in Dublin and Grosvenor Road for 10 years, where God grounded me in the Word of God. From there, I moved into college in Canterbury in England, where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and got a revelation of the mystery of Israel. And from there, I came back to here, and I've been with you folk for the last 27 years. That has been my journey, and it has been absolutely amazing. So on the 28th of October, 1974, I never looked back. I just grew, and I grew, and I grew. But we're talking about finances this morning. What has it cost the church, other Christians, to get me from that balcony in Dublin to BCC here today, 2019? What has it cost? Everything has to be paid for. The world is run by finances. We know that we need to finance. Everything needs to be financed. So how much did it cost to get me from the balcony to BCC? Just think of the number of churches I've been to since 1974. Maybe 30,000 churches I've been into. Never paid a thing, I just walked in. 20,000 prayer meetings that I've been to. Ministry trips that I've made to Kenya and other places. The gifts that people have given me. To get me from that balcony to here could have cost £500,000 for me to be standing here to be teaching to you today. Look at your own individual life from the day you gave your heart to the Lord, how people have helped you and have financed you to get to where you are sitting today. So collectively, all together, if we were to put all the finances together that it took for each one of us to be sitting here this morning, could be up to millions of pounds. Everything has to be financed. And there are two mechanisms that God has created in the Bible, and that is the tithe and the offering. The reason why we're all sitting here, obviously, is because of salvation. But because it takes finances, all those finances that got us to here was through the tithe and through the offering. It's amazing, isn't it? Even looking at Pastor John and Pastor Hillary and all the giving that they have given since 1974 that the church started here. The amount of finances that have passed through this pair is up to millions of pounds. These things need to be financed. So we're going to have a look at the tithe this morning. And this, the tithe giving is different to the offering. There are two different givings. The tithe is to build up the church. And we'll go through the scriptures. It is supernatural. Never pay your tithe like you're paying your electricity bill. I don't think you've ever seen anybody go into Phoenix Gas with a cheerful jump in there and say, I just cannot wait to pay my electricity bill. The devil will do everything that he possibly can to stop you from paying your tithe. Everything. I'm sure you've noticed even driving up here, the lies have come into your mind to try to distract you. They say, yeah, you don't really need to give it this week. Leave it for another week. It is a supernatural gift. And because of that, the devil will try to stop you. So we're just going to have a look at the tithe today. The tithe was created by God. There wasn't a world council of churches meeting back in 1487 that decided we're going to start to tithe. The tithe was created by God before the foundations of the earth. And we just need to remember that this is of God and not of the world. The tithe is our love response to God's word. If God says it, we should do it. It's a command of God. And we should just settle it in. If I love the word, I love God, I'm sure, as you do. And if God says, release your tithe, this should really be the end of the story. I could close my Bible and pray a blessing over you and send you home and say, that's it. I've got the revelation. If God says it, then we do it. The tithe needs to come to you by revelation because it is spiritual. I got a revelation of tithing in 1983, and I haven't looked back. Has my tithe been perfect? No. Has my offering been perfect? No. But I sat down a couple of years ago and worked out what I have given so far. And I worked out, since 1983, I've given about £250,000 in tithes and in offerings. Now that is just pocket money compared to what pastors, what this church, this family has given over the years. So we, as you can see, these finances do add up. And I do not regret giving £1 of what I have given, I have released out of my hands and into the hand of God. Because the tithe and the offering is to do about salvation. It is providing a mechanism for which the gospel message can be preached and continue to be preached, and also to fund the last days revival. And because of the last days revival that is coming, there's going to be an even greater number of people who were going to be saved. In 1974, we were maybe talking about hundreds of thousands. But in the future, we're talking about millions of unsaved people coming to salvation. And all of that has to be financed. And it is up, God has chosen to use us to finance it. It's important to acknowledge that God owns everything. He wants us to tithe so we can fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. Whether if we do not tithe, I believe it is a blockage for us growing and maturing with God. The two go together. Tithing is a life principle and is a lifestyle. You settle it in your heart, it becomes a lifestyle. You don't have to think twice about whether you're going to give it to you on a Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. You continue that lifestyle, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. You don't, the devil can't get in. You won't question yourself. You just do it because this is what God wants me to do and to release that tithe. And it is so powerful in the hand of God. The first thing I want to look at, if you want to turn with me to Leviticus 27 and verse 30. I want to show you some aspects of the tithe here. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. We're just going to take a few moments on this because it is foundational and it is powerful. So the verse says, thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe is holy. So what else do we know is holy? We know that God is the only one who is holy, but we have the Holy Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have holy matrimony for those who are married here. Your marriage is holy. Your marriage bed is holy. God is holy. There are so many things that are holy. So what does holy actually mean? It means to separate or to cut off. It is set apart, sacred, dedicated, or consecrated to God. God is the only one who is holy, but he declares people and objects to be holy. The articles in the temple were holy. Each one of us here are holy because we are by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We are holy. We are a holy nation. We are a small part of the body of Christ worldwide. And we are a holy nation. So you can see how important the holiness of the tithe is. We can see that it is separated. It is set apart. It is very important to God. And if it's important to God, it should be important to us. Absolutely. Let's move on. Let's look at Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We are to honor the God, to honor God with our tithe. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23 says, you shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year, and you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, your firstborn of your herd and your flock, in order that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. When you begin to tithe, you will begin to learn the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to get wisdom, the wisdom of God, one of the ways you can do it is to tithe. Are we learning anything this morning? Good. Well, let's move into Malachi 3, because that's where I want to focus the rest of our message. This is a powerful passage of Scripture, and I'm going to open it up in maybe some ways that you haven't seen before. Malachi 3 and verse 10. It says, we're talking about the tithes here exclusively, and Malachi is talking to the children of Israel. So Malachi is talking to the body of Christ here. He's not speaking to an individual, he's speaking to a body of people. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The first thing is there, God wants us to bring our tithe to the house of God. I pay by internet banking, but I always make sure that I have my envelope the first Sunday that I am there, so that I am, if you like, honoring Scripture, I am bringing my tithe. Don't write your tithe when you come to church. What I encourage you to do is to set some time at home before you come. Go to that place where you have to write lots of checks. Find that place. Prepare your tithe. The first thing I do when income comes into my hand, the first thing I do is I separate the tithe. And by internet banking, that's pretty easy. And it takes your money straight away. So you don't have to worry about whether you have 3 days for it to be cashed. It's taken straight from your hand. And I'm quite happy with that. I think that's good. So bring your tithe. Prepare it the night before and bring it with you so that your envelope is sitting in your Bible ready to be given. Bring the whole tithe. Now we're going to have a look at that word whole now and also later. When you get your wages or your pay pack, you have a figure at the top and you have a figure at the bottom. The one at the top is your salary, and of course there's tax to be taken off that, and national insurance, and maybe a company pension and so on is taken off that. And the figure at the bottom, unfortunately, is less than the figure at the top. But pay the whole tithe. I believe God is saying here is to pay the tithe off the figure at the top of the page and not at the bottom. You pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you pay to God what is God's. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the local church, or the treasury. And every church has its checking accounts. It has its treasury. And in the old days, the treasuries in the temple in Jerusalem were full of gold, physical gold and silver. We can still do that today. I preached on that about 6 years ago, to bring physical gold and silver. I personally have been collecting silver coins over the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm up to about 4.5 kilograms of silver coins. I can hardly lift the case that it's in. That is my treasury. And also, I'm really big into gold and silver because it is real money. The pound, the euro, they're all currency. And history has proved that all of these currencies come to nothing. And the dollar is on its way out, because the gold and silver is linked to the dollar, and when the dollar drops, the value of gold and silver rises. I have a pension. I have a certain amount of gold sitting in a vault in London. I am so big into gold that I've converted everything into silver and gold. I have physical gold and silver, and then my pension is obviously linked into a vault in London. I encourage you to buy physical gold and silver. We are heading into a global financial crisis. The world is in debt. All you have to do is look at America. Was she $23 trillion in debt? That's never going to be paid off. That's 23 million multiplied by a million. Write down all the zeros of 23 trillion. You'll be staggered at the size of the debt that the United States have. And that's just one country. That cannot last forever. We are heading for a global financial crisis. And the only thing that will stand as far as real money is concerned is gold and silver. Let's move on. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, looking at the Hebrew, that's meat. And it's good meat. It's prey meat. It's the best meat that you can get. When you pray, when you released your tithe, you are releasing the best meat into this house. And what is that meat used for? It's allowing pastors and the deacons and the elders to do what they need to do to keep preaching the gospel message from this house. Yes, that money is used for electricity. All of this has to be paid for. Electricity, gas, heat, it's all required, and that's all paid through by the tithe. But the priority is that the gospel message is preached using the tithe. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, which is the church, your local church, and test me now in this. This is the only place in the Bible that God says for us to test him, to prove him. If you know that you have to pay a tithe and you're just, I don't know whether I can do it this week or not, just test God. Even if you know that you're not going to have enough money at the end of the month to pay all your bills, test him. God is saying this. I'm not saying it. Prove him right and test him, because he has never failed. In my life, when I've tested him, he has never failed to release those finances from directions that I never would have imagined in my mind where they would have come from. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. And this is the only place in the Bible that God has done this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he could have just said the Lord Jesus, or said the Lord, but the Lord of hosts is the angelic realm. We're talking about angels here. When you pay your tithe, angels are commissioned and released on your behalf. This is supernatural. The tithe is holy. We honor God with our first fruits, and we are placing our natural finances into a supernatural realm where anything can happen. Yes, you will experience interference because the devil will try to steal it back, but you are placing it into God's hands, and you will be amazed at what he will do. Test him. It's an exciting life, isn't it, Pastor? You never know what's going to happen next. And there's such a peace and a feeling of obedience to God's word when you release your tithe. It actually makes you feel good. Okay, there's more. Can you take any more? Yeah. So we're still in verse 10. I've got to read the whole verse again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. In other words, God is going to pour out, it's singular, a blessing, not the blessing, but a blessing where you will not have enough room to hold it. Is there anybody in this room where you went home and you couldn't open the living room door in your house, because inside the living room you had pallets of money, gold, silver, precious stones, jewelry? You just couldn't get into the living room because you didn't have enough room to hold it in your wardrobes, in your cupboards. Anybody here? No? You have a check for £5 million, and you go down to the bank and you say, this is what the account I want to put the money into. And she says, I'm sorry, that account only holds £2 million. Anyone ever had that experience? This is unfulfilled prophecy. This has not happened yet. To me, this is the last day's transfer of wealth. Is there anybody here who hasn't ever heard of the last day's transfer of wealth? You all heard about it. Now, I've got some pictures for you. Let me just read this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. So there is one windfall, there is one downfall of the last day's transfer of wealth into your hands. And what Scripture is saying is, it will only come to you if you tithe. If you don't tithe, you won't get it. But this is still to happen. So what is this money for? This is to fund the last days revival. There are millions, as I said already, there are millions of Christians who are going to be saved, and it's all going to have to be financed. And it's not going to be, we are not going to be able to finance it currently with the finances we have. We need assistance from heaven. And God knew ahead of time when he taught about the tithe, when he placed it in scripture, he knew it ahead of time that there will day that we will need an overflow of finances, that we will not have enough room to hold it. We will have to release it. The only way that we can hold on to it is to get rid of it. And that is to bless the church. That is to provide the finances that is needed to bring everybody in. And not just bring them in, but to have the churches that we need. Every church will need to get bigger. They'll need to add extensions, because these people will need to be housed. Because there's one thing receiving salvation, they also need to be discipled. They also need to be matured. They also need to be taught the word of God and how to grow with God. We will not be able to do with the finances that we currently have. So God, ahead of time, is going to release a downfall of finances that you will not be able to hold in order to fund this last day's revival. The windows of heaven, if you look at it in the Hebrew, means sluice gates. Can I ask Graham, can you put up the first slide? These two blocks, they are sluice gates. That's what is the interpretation of the windows of heaven in the Bible. These are sluice gates. And what do? They hold water back, okay? You can give me the next one there, please, Graham. When you start to tithe, God starts to open the windows of heaven over your life. And when you start, he is totally in control of how much he releases into your hand. So when you start, you might just open up a few windows. We've got two open here. The next one, Graham, please. So it starts to increase. As you establish a lifestyle of giving in the tithe, those more windows will start to be opened onto your life. Keep going there, Graham. I think we're up to number four. Now, this one is at full flow. The windows of heaven are open, okay? And I think there's two more, Graham. Getting bigger. And then the last one. Badoom. Wow. That is, if you like, the release of a blessing of the last day's transfer of wealth into your hands. How would you like to go into your bank account tomorrow and you know there's only £400 there, and to see £10,400,000 in your account? Your mind would boggle of what you would do with it. You would go into your mind would just explode with what you're going to do with these finances, wondering where they came from. And it's all going to come from the unsaved wealthy. It's the wealth transfer. I'm only just going to mention it at this stage, but I have written an article back in 2014 all about every Heavenly Vision funded, called Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh. I just read it last night myself, after a number of years, and I thought, did I write that? If you want to know more about the wealth of the wicked and the transfer of wealth, there's information there if you want it, okay? Every verse of scripture there is in the Bible on this. I can run off a copy for you at any time and give it to you, all right? What this article hadn't shown was when it's going to take place. Since then, God has shown me, within a time framework, has shown me when it's going to happen. I'm not going to tell you this morning. You're going to have to keep on coming back to church until the next time I'm up here. But it's going to come from the unsaved wealthy men and women. 5% Of the 5% of people in the world hold 95% of the wealth of the world. In 2012, the number of millionaires in the world increased by 29%. And that has gone higher and higher and higher. The devil has made it sure that the wealth of the world is in the hands of the unsaved. But God is going to transfer it out of their hands and into our hands so that we can fund the end time revival. Can you take any more? Okay, let's go down to verse 11. And this is one of my favorite ones. So the first word, it says then. So what has happened before verse 11 is everything I have described. And then the Malachi says, then. So once you've done that, this is what's going to happen. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. I will rebuke the devourer. And who is the devourer? The devil. The tithe is like an insurance policy over your life and over your finances. I'm an architect. I'm the lead consultant on projects. And many attempts have been made to try and pull me down because I carry the highest amount of professional indemnity insurance. I'm the first level of target if anything ever goes wrong. Unfortunately, they haven't succeeded. It has always failed. Mainly because it wasn't me who made the mistake. But they tried to pull me down. But I knew that by paying the tithe, that I had an extra covering of angels over me. It's an insurance policy. It's a protection. Your income is protected. Your job is protected by simply paying the tithe. Then I will rebuke the devourer. I believe this is also speaking into the future. Last year, 2018, the Chinese government did a trial scenario. They took a province in western China and they set up artificial intelligence. They set up cameras. Let's just say the province was the size of Ards and Northland Borough Council. They set up cameras in every street corner. Every road, every laneway, every street was covered by cameras. And these cameras were face recognition cameras. For the last year, they have been monitoring the people who have lived in that province. They know exactly where everybody is going on a day-to-day basis. They have it all on camera. And it is all linked to social credit. If they see you going into the museum, or you go to the cinema, or you go to the National Theatre, go to all the good things, they will increase your credit that you are making something of your life, that you're giving something back to the community. But if they see you going into a Christian church, spirit-filled church in that province, your credit rating will start to go down, because they do not want to see you attending church, being part of a church in China. This is the sort of technology that the world is going to want to have. And as your social credit begins to lower, they will then start to take your house away from you. Your children won't be able to go to the schools that they wanted to go to. They are literally taking everything from you. And this is happening right now in this province in China, and it's going to increase around the world. They will also approach your family members, and they will ask questions. For example, if they brought my sister in, they'd be asking questions about me. They want to know why I'm going to church. Why is it I pray? Why is it I do these things? Why do I do these spiritual things? And they're going to ask her questions, and if she doesn't give the right answers, even though she's my sister, her credit rating will start to reduce. You can read all of this in Micah 7. if you want to read it, which talks about family members giving away other family members. So what I'm saying here in verse 11 is that then God says, I will rebuke the devourer. This is also prophetic. This is speaking into the future. This is speaking protection upon us. Because if that sort of technology came to our town and they see us all coming to church, we could lose our job. Our bank accounts should be cut off. But God says, no, I will rebuke the devourer. So the most important thing is that we have a lifestyle in giving the tithe. So when these things start to take place, we will know that we have a supernatural protection on us and that God will release the income and the finances that we need, even if our social rating goes to nothing and we lose everything. Do you understand that this passage of scripture is not something that was written thousands of years ago by Malachi? It is relevant to today, but it is also relevant to the future and the things that we are going to have to deal with in the future. I personally believe we will be here during the 7-year tribulation period. That is what I believe. It may not be the teaching of this church, so recognize this is just me speaking. I believe we will be here halfway through those 7 years when we will have to decide whether we take the mark of the beast. Of course we won't take it. Which means without the chip on your forehead and on your right hand, you will not be able to do business with anybody or anything. You will not be able to literally live because we need finance. We need a flow of finance. We need bank accounts. We need to be able to pay for things. We need to go to Asda and get your cornflakes. All of that will come to an end because we won't have the chip on our forehead or in our right hand. So once again, this verse of scripture is talking about the future. It says, I will rebuke the devourer so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts, the release of angelic activity, protecting us, looking after us. That once when we're paying the tithe as a lifestyle, we will know that God's protection is upon us. That involves the whole area of finance and income and so forth. Verse 12, and, so we've had a then, and now we have an and. All the nations will call you blessed. You shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I've always wondered about that. All the nations will call you blessed. I don't think I have seen that in a small measure, and maybe you have as well, but I haven't seen that in its full fulfillment, that all the nations will call you blessed. And we're talking about the body of Christ. What I would also like to get across to you this morning is that when you tithe, it's affecting you personally. It affects your family, your immediate family. It affects your relatives. It affects the church, of course. It affects our town, our province, Northern Ireland, the island of Ireland. Believe me, is affected in the spiritual realm by the tithe that you release. Now, how did I come to that conclusion? It's getting back to the whole tithe in verse 9. Bring the whole tithe. If everybody in this church, every Sunday morning, every single member brought their tithe, the whole tithe, there was not one penny short in one service, this church will be blessed. If every Christian in Bangor this morning, in whatever denomination they have chosen to be in, Methodist, Baptist, if every Christian in this town paid the whole tithe, everybody paid their tithes in Bangor this morning as I speak, our town will be blessed. Ardsdown and North Down Borough Council will be blessed. Currently, they're about £70 million in debt. Our council is not blessed. But I believe because what happens in the church affects everything around us, affects the world around us, if every Christian tithes this morning, in the whole tithe, it will bless our town. And that £70 million debt could be wiped out in a very short period of time. Let's even take it further. If every Christian this morning in Northern Ireland, in Londonderry, in Coleraine, Belfast, Ballyhome, there are thousands of churches in Northern Ireland. If the whole tithe was brought in this morning from every church in Northern Ireland, our province would be blessed within a short period of time, if that is done on a continual basis. You have seen the gates. Those gates are opened immediately you release your tithe, and we're going to release the tithe here this morning. The moment you drop your envelope, those gates are opened. So when does it stop being opened? When your next income check comes along and you're in a position as a Christian, based on God's word, it's time for me to release my tithe. If you decide not to, those gates will be closed. I believe that. It's a lifestyle. We need to keep those gates open so that we can see what is prophesied in these scriptures, that we are ready in order to deal with them. And if I really wanted to take it to the big picture, if every Christian this morning, right around the world, every church, every Christian, from Belfast to Sydney, paid their tithe, the whole tithe, and not one penny left out, the debt situation in the world will be eradicated within a short period of time. So that takes us right back to our individual tithe. Your tithe is supernatural, and it is affecting the spiritual atmosphere around you. And your tithe is touching the world. Your tithe is touching the world this morning. I want to finish before we release the tithe this morning. I just want to, if you look at Genesis 28, please, with me. This is Jacob's dream. Jacob had been sent away, found himself on his own in the desert. And Genesis 28 and verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. That always amazed me. You go into your garden this afternoon and find a nice big rock with a smooth top on it, and go upstairs and put it on your bed and put your head on it. You'll never be able to sleep. These people were tough in these days, weren't they? Anyway, and he had a dream, and beheld a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. This is Jesus standing at the top of the stairs and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Israel, the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust. I'm going to skip 14 without diluting the passage. Verse 16, and behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Getting back to the waters, the gates of heaven, the windows of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. That's where you get the church, the Bethel church from. And however, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey, that I will take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And here we are, verse 22. This is the key to what I want to say. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. Jacob had a dream. He had a revelation from heaven. The promises from God. And he decided to make a vow unto God that everything that he got, he would give a tenth of it back to the Lord. And he did. And if you read further on, in chapter 30, verse 43, it says, so the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, and so on. It led to his prosperity. I pray that in our hearts this morning, that each one of us, because of the revelation that you've heard this morning through God's word, that you could get to a place where you could just make a vow to the Lord and say, tithe. I love God. I love his word. If he wants me to give it, that's it. I settle it. You want to settle it in your heart today that I will give my tithe as a lifestyle, not just for today, not just to continue the preaching of the gospel message from this house, but that it will prepare you for some nasty days that are ahead of us in this world as the global financial crash begins to take root. God is speaking to us ahead of time. He always does. He is preparing us for what lies ahead. And a day will come when we will have to trust God for every pound, shilling, and pence that we need, because the world is going to take it from us, that we need to rely on his overflow, his finances, and his way, and to follow after the leadership of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.